for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
Tonight on the show, you're a sad, second-rate, impotent copycat. It is the 1995 thriller Copycat. Joining us from no longer her icy corner of the world is Hillary, and I am Aaron Dawn, your co-host. Hillary, what is the weather like out right now in the South Carolina area?
No, it's chilly again today. Yeah, it was like 81 on, you know, Monday, Tuesday. And yeah, no, it's, and again, like, keeping in mind that I now consider myself like being from Florida, where I'm sure it is 80, 90 degrees.
It's disgusting.
You know, it was like 50s, 60s. So like a little chill. But still sweater weather, which is good for my lack of a tricep and just extra skin. So I can still look cute and not, you know, be hot and yucky.
Yeah,
I wake up and I throw my little space heater on when I walk from my bed to my office. These 1.2 feet.
It's amazing. So this is one of those movies that the rewatch factor on this is pretty heavy. Like, I've seen this movie probably like 12 times, something like that. Like, I would say 12. Slink's seen it 3 times just with me. So
that's, oh, wow. Just, okay.
Yeah. He's like, this is our third time watching this film together. And it's like, I go, because it's good, and I do kind of like have it on in the background, you know? So what is your background with Copycat?
I think I saw it like in the 90s, and it's a movie that you can just put on in the background. And even though it's like a thriller, you kind of like, you find out very early on who done it. You kind of know why they're doing it, like, you know, it's name of the movie.
It's not a mystery thriller.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, you're not trying to like really figure anything out. It is very spoon-fed. You know, two female leads that I guess are strong in their own right, like that. I have a problem.
Okay, no, that's good. That's good. Yeah. I love that. There are things about this movie, and this is kind of one of the things that has evolved about our show, is that we are obviously 80% positive about most of the movies that we do, but there is always that 20% of Swiss cheese where shit has holes in it, and we discuss the holes.
And for the most part, yes, I do enjoy it. This isn't like, I'm going to struggle finding good things to talk about with this movie from. You know, there are like, it's like a surface level complexity character.
Oh, there are no, yeah, that's the, yes, that, thank you for bringing, thank you for bringing this up. This is a very, my brother used to call them bonbon movies. And these are movies that have no nutritional value to them, but they are like, they put it on, you know, you put it on and you're just like, you know, ooh, and oh shit, I hate this scene. You know, like, you kind of, there, you know, there's stuff that you hate about it or whatever, but like, for the most part, it's a pretty upbeat, good time, if you will.
Yeah, it's a good time for, you know, a serial killer movie, I guess. Maybe you shouldn't want to have a good time watching a serial killer movie, but yes, it's a nice, fun, easy watch serial killer movie, you know, that it takes all like the gore out of a serial killer movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's for a film.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. for a film that is about a man copycatting serial killers over a certain period of decades, it is quite tame in the violence department. When the violence does occur, it actually, I think for me personally, it hit a lot harder because of who that those characters were. And it was just very brutal. You know, it was kind of like, not that it shouldn't have been brutal in the beginning of the movie, but I mean, like, I think once, because there's one character in it that I absolutely love, and his death bothers me every single time. Like, I was
Yeah,
sitting
no,
there on.
and without even going any further, I know the character that you're talking about. Yeah.
It
And
broke my heart. It
oh yeah,
broke my
no, he
heart.
that was the one thing that really like bummed me out.
Out. Yes.
Yeah. And I just went like, we didn't have to do that.
Yeah, that was my that
Yeah,
that
no. Yeah, no,
yeah.
that was my guy too. I'm with you. Loved that
Yeah.
guy. And I We
Yeah.
aren't telling the audience who it is, just, and what's going to be even funnier to me is if we get to like the death scene and we're talking about two totally different characters, I'm going to be like, really? That
Oh, yeah. Like, that
was
was your guy? Really?
your guy?
Okay.
That was your, okay.
Okay, whatever. All right. So we open on a lecture hall at a random college somewhere in San Francisco. We never actually find out where that college is. We just know that it's in San Francisco. The incredibly, incomparably awesome, beautiful, strong, should be a lesbian, but isn't, Sigourney Weaver. Is playing Dr. Helen Hudson. She is a criminologist, psychology, all of the things, right? And she is giving a lecture about serial killers. And she's kind of going through there. She asks men to stand up and she says, you know, okay, if you're between the age of 20 and 35, please keep standing. If you are white, please keep standing. If you are
Which is
African
all of
American,
them.
right. If you
Yeah.
are African American or of Asian descent, please sit down.
Yeah, which I don't think that that necessarily aged well, you know, Samuel Little.
Was gonna say, so yeah, let's exactly. Like, so we have Samuel Little, we have the Atlanta child murders, and then we have Lake and Ing, which is a horrid case, but
No.
that is as that's one half of Asian.
Talon just whispered DC sniper, and now we're going to
Ah,
say like, well, he wasn't really a serial killer. He was at best like a mass
he
murderer.
was referred to as a mass murderer. Thank you,
Yeah,
Todd
no, like
Brooks.
I'm with you, and he didn't really, you
Right.
know, have like the ritualistic killings or anything. He just wanted to kill his ex-wife.
Yeah, pretty
Yeah,
much. Yeah.
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 What a bummer story that was.
So I love the fact that she says something to the effect of, she's like, people like Ed Kemper and Ted Bundy, they were considered nice guys, and it made me cringe because of what you and I think of nice guys, you know.
Yeah,
I
I
was
do.
like, yeah.
I hate the term "night." I really hate it when somebody tries to like sell me a person of like, oh, hey, we're gonna go out to dinner. So and so's going. They're really nice. I die inside. It
Ooh.
doesn't matter if it's male or female. It
Yeah.
just seems like this stupid filler word that really means nothing.
Nope.
Are they kind? Are they funny? Are they smart? Are they a little crazy? Are they bipolar? Are they?
Yeah.
Give me a different term. Nice means I really have nothing to say about them, but they're gonna fucking be there.
Yeah, they're probably boring.
Right? Or it's superficial or it's phony, and I'm not interested in any sort of relationship that is fake and phony, and like I'm busy. And if I'm gonna go spend my time with somebody, it can't be nice. I'm not interested.
So it's interesting though that you that we at this point in our, you know, age, view that way, because nice in this case really means sociopathic. It really means performative,
Performative.
right? So yeah, when she mentions, you know, she's like Ed, Ted, you know, all the big, the golden oldies as they're called, that's exactly what happens. So she notices in the audience after all the white guys sit down. After all the white guys sit down, she notices Harry Connick Jr. Is in the audience, looking like a demonic howdy doody.
I don't know if anybody is going to get this reference. Do you remember the guy who I want to say wanted to be like the Joker and went and shot up a movie theater?
Oh, is that nope.
Yeah, no, I for the life of me, his name means nothing, but yeah, just that is who he looked like to me immediately. I just like the crazed hair, the crazed eyes, and just like,
Yep.
yeah. And I just went, it's that guy in my brain because
Absolutely.
Thomas.
And
Yeah.
just to talk about who Harry Connick Jr. is, kids, back in the day, Harry Connick Jr. was considered to be what is referred to as a crooner. He had a shit ton of albums, and they were mostly jazz standard type situation, like think Tony Bennett, once again, a very old reference. But just a, I don't know what we would call them today. Who would we equate to this? Bruno Mars?
No, Bruno Mars is like a pop star.
Pop
Maybe
star.
Bublé.
Yes. Okay. Oh, okay. Great. Right. So he was the Michael Bublé, if you will, of the 80s and 90s. And so not known for playing any kind of serial killer.
Yes.
And really not that. But he was, and he's also, he's an attractive dude. A lot of, he was very, very, very popular with a lot of moms. He decided to do a little bit of acting. Okay, so we got this movie. He did Hope Floats with Sandra Bullock, and oddly enough, ended up on Will and Grace. So he has kind of done both, but this is my favorite role of his, to be honest. Because he is so over the top that he plays this role like Bill Moseley in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. You know what I mean? Like weird Southern accent that kind of comes out of nowhere. Just psychotic. Like just straight up fucking psychotic. And does a great job. He does a great job uglying himself, So Helen decides she sees it and then she doesn't see it. She sees him and then she doesn't. She's like, what the who the fuck is that? So she goes to the bathroom, like you do, and she, the cop comes in with her, checks all the bathroom stalls, and sees that there is a pair of what looks like skinny women's legs in high heels underneath one of the stalls, and goes, oh, sorry, ma'am. And turns out it's actually Harry Connick Jr., who in this case is playing Daryl Lee Cullum, because
The
as
three names.
any Absolutely. As any serial killer aficionado knows, three names always. Yes, Theodore Robert Bundy, looking at you. He jumps out, slices his throat, shoots him, and then terrorizes Helen. And then we cut and we realize this is actually a dream that she had of an incident that occurred. And she now is isolated in a really badass San Francisco loft condo on the water.
Penthouse. Yeah, no, she that multi-millionaire. She did very well for herself as the Candace Long, if you will. I don't think Candace Long lives in the penthouse apartment above San Francisco, overlooking the water with multiple floors and stories. She live in like Kim Kardashian.
Oh, it's wild. I mean, this place is, I didn't get a chance to look up and find out if this was a set or if this was an actual house, but it's so cool. It
Oh yeah, no, it's absolutely gorgeous.
it's
I
it's
can't
really.
afford to tour this place. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah, no. And she's basically having, a regular old panic attack. She's walking around the house. She's investigating everything. She's repeating the names of presidents,
Yes.
which is a thing that people do sometimes when they are having anxiety attacks or panic attacks. It's like repeat shit that over and over and over again.
Yep.
And she's trying to do that. So she decides she's gonna get on the information superhighway, as it was called in 1995.
I do
She
love the computer software in this movie now.
it
Oh, it's
reminds
so
me
much fun for me.
it so reminds me of Hackers, because
Uh-huh.
that is another movie that is so delightfully dated.
Oh yeah, and terribly wrong. I can remember when I watched Hackers, I was just like, yeah, that's how the internet works. And then I started dating like a big super computer nerd, and I was trying to be cool, and I was just like, oh, have you seen Hackers? And he just rolled his eyes, and he was just like, everything in that movie is bullshit. And I was
Absolutely.
like, what?
Absolutely. And it's
You
funny
can't
because
lie in a Hollywood movie.
Hackers is one of the movies that my brother, who has done his fair share of hacking and, social engineering back in the day, loved because it was bullshit. Like he loved the, he was like, oh, it's like bonbons. It has no, like,
Yeah.
it's just, you just watch it,
You just watch it and it's fun.
So one of the things that Helen does is she sits down and she begins to type to an unseen person. Back in the day, kids, we used to have a little thing called BBSs, and the BBSs had chats on them where you could pick different areas that you could chat with, whether you're chatting with the chess chat or you were chatting with the music chat or movie chat. And back then it was called the IRC, standard for Internet Relay Chat. And it was cool as f, man. I mean, granted, now I get it. We have Discord. We have, we do have ways in which we can reach out to billions and billions of people and talk to them in the middle of the night. But this was kind of cool, man. Like this was neat because she had already developed these relationships with these people, and they understood that it was like, hey, I had a panic
Yeah.
attack. I need to talk. And they were like, right here,
Yeah,
So,
before pedophiles ruined it, the internet used to be like fun.
yes, absolutely. Before,
Pedophiles
yeah.
really ruin everything, you know? Just,
Exactly.
yeah.
Yeah. If you want another example of how the internet was ruined by people, please check out our Strangeland episode. Speaking of absolutely dated internet references.
Yeah, ASL,
Woo!
ASL,
Oh my God.
ASL. I'm only 13.
Yeah,
Want
that
a
kind of
private
bullshit.
chat? Yeah.
Yeah,
Bleh.
right? Want to come to a
Bleh.
party? Yeah, gross, right? So disgusting. So we meet the next day we meet little tiny adorable Holly Hunter. Oh my God.
Whatever happened to Holly Hunter?
She just, she picked up a couple Oscars. I know she had an Oscar for Piano. I don't know if she had any more Oscars after that, but she probably just was like, I'm gonna
I'm good.
get married, have kids, retire, buy a fucking castle in Ireland and just call it a day,
Ah, get, living the dream. Good,
Right.
good on you. So Holly Hunter's living my dream. Got
That's
it. Fuck that hoe.
it. That's
Yep.
absolutely what she's doing. So she and Dermot Mulroney, not to be confused with Dylan McDermott.
Yep. Which are the same fucking person. And Kyle MacLachlan. They are all written in the same fucking font. Nobody's going to convince me otherwise.
He plays Reuben, her partner, and they're basically going through shooting practice, and she's kind of teaching him, proper trigger discipline, and what's the best thing, like, oh, you gotta wound the brachial nerve and just stuff like that. And then the next thing we see is a creeper stalking a blonde jogger, and this is our killer, who goes by the name of Peter Curtin, but his name is actually Peter, oh shit, oh, they told him the end of it. Peter? No. So, Peter is watching this, is watching this girl jog and kind of coming up with exactly what he's going to do. He utilizes a video camera. So he has the video camera, and Peter is played by William McNamara. William McNamara is one of those incredibly pretty boys, just for lack of a better expression. He is one of those pretty boys. He did a great movie called Stealing Home with Mark Harmon back in the day. And he was also dubbed, but in a little Dario Argento film called Terror at the Opera, also known as Opera. If you guys get a chance, please check out Jello Shots, which is our sister podcast. And I did an episode of Opera with our very own David Joshua. Absolutely fantastic episode.
They're all written in the same goddamn font.
So, okay, a question for you. I know this is going to be kind of hard, but like, did you recognize the serial killer at all? Like, have you seen him? Does he look like a guy who you know, kind of thing? Okay. So he played in a movie called Dream a Little Dream.
Oh yeah, with the Corys.
With the Corys, he plays the dickhead boyfriend who, I mean, really, let's call it what it is for those of us who've unfortunately seen Dream a Little Dream way too many times. He plays the abusive boyfriend who hits Meredith Salinger and she goes flying across the fucking prom, you know, like he's a bad person. So, but in real life, William McNamara, I'm sure, is a lovely human being. But yes, he did Dream a Little Dream, as well as a lot of other movies. And he is, and I think you will agree with me, he is a 90s pretty boy.
Oh, for sure.
But
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, he
just.
is a teen beat rip out put on your wall. He could have been, Zach Morris on Saved by the Bell.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yes, he has killed this jogger and left her body in her bathtub. All the cops show up, and Holly Hunter gets approached by her, we'll just call him the dickhead lieutenant and Captain.
Captain
Not sh
Dickface McGee. Yep.
yeah, Captain
That's for
Dickface
you,
McGee.
George.
Absolutely, Captain Dickface McGee. You know. It kind of tries to like deal with the press or whatever, and she talks to one of the cops, and one of the cops is like, "Yeah, so the crime scene was tampered with," and she's like, "Okay, what did you tamper with it?" And she's like, "He's like, no, the captain did," and he said there was a stocking around her neck, and so I guess the captain did not want it to be in any way perceive that there was a serial killer out there. He just wanted it to be kind of like random.
Yeah, random attack. That's, it's a shame and it's very sad, but the city does not need to fear.
None of
I just go like, if this is like murder one, why are we already thinking that it's a serial kill? Like, that thought process just doesn't. My brain can't connect it. So
Right. And then
it's one of those things where I go like, so you just tampered with a crime scene 'cause?
there's a throwaway line that you probably missed
Yeah,
where
probably.
he says like this is the second one in da 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 da, however long it was, right? So this and that, and that's why he tells her later, he's like, "You didn't say serial killer, I didn't say serial killer."
Yeah, and I did catch that of just like we're not saying cereal. And
Right.
I was just like, oh, okay. Like I get it. We don't want it to be a serial killer and we're not reporting that it's a serial killer. Totally on board with that. 'Cause then you get, mass panic and everybody everywhere is calling in tip lines and it turns into a big fucking shit show. And with that, I don't understand the removal of like what I would consider a relatively very important piece of information
Agreed,
and evidence.
completely agreed. This is
Yeah.
the first of many instances where Holly Hunter, who plays MJ's MJ's authority is usurped.
Yeah, she
It's
is very in a male-dominated field.
Yep.
Very, yeah, and it was very a la, like Clarice Sterling. Yeah, I mean, not as, whatever.
Deep.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you can see it in a lot of things where she is definitely like the only woman in the room
Oh,
and
yeah.
like trying to think and just, trying to break the glass ceiling and like all of that sort of stuff if you're trying to like find deeper meaning in the movie. But yeah, she is definitely like, shut up, little lady, go make me a coffee.
Oh
And
yeah, and
yeah.
she's so, this is like I love Holly Hunter's whole aura in this movie. Like she's just very like she's gentle but firm, and she's just very sweet looking. Like she's adorable. She's fucking adorable, man. Like
Is absolutely adorable. I really did like, and Sigourney Weaver like called out just like, does she do this doll thing, this little girl doll thing often? And the other guy's just like,
Yep. Totally works. Yeah, too. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
I am an idiot, but I'm a nice idiot. I'm a kind idiot. I'm cute and adorable. I'm a little
Adorable.
golden retriever.
So yeah, that's how I would describe Dermot Mulroney in this movie
Yeah.
is a dark-haired golden retriever.
Yep.
Just cute and not threatening.
Yeah. Cute, adorable. You can put him on your lap and just,
Yeah,
let him lick your face.
just
It's
pet him a
fine.
little bit. Yeah, he's fine. So a character that is definitely not cute and cuddly is Will Patton, who plays Nico. And this is one of those characters that I understand kind of like why he's in the movie, but at the same time, I don't understand why he's in the movie.
I don't
Like I
understand why he's in the movie.
get that he was basically kind of like a plot point to point out that, that there are cops that are just dickheads, really. Like but I feel like we probably could have gotten that across with the captain,
Yeah, no, it
right?
was very, yeah, he. Will Patton's character, he's a like plot hole for me that just doesn't look good for Holly Hunter because they were in a relationship and now it's like all of that. I just went, oh, that should have went on the cutting room floor.
I believe that too. I absolutely believe that. Now, this is actually fact checker Frankie, if you're listening, buddy, you got to check us on this. I believe this is adapted from a book and that the book had more to it.
Oh, yeah, no, that would make sense.
But I'm not 100 on that. So yeah, definitely be fact checking us. Yeah, so Will Patton is one of those actors that I've seen in so many movies. Like he's on Yellowstone. He was in Desperately Seeking Susan. He's so prominent, right? But I always get him and Dwight Schultz from the A-Team interchanged. Like I literally think it's the same guy and have thought it was the same guy for years. Like, oh yeah, no, bad guy in Desperately Seeking Susan is the crazy guy in the A team. Nope. Anyway,
Nope.
sure, by the way. And so yes, so back to they're trying to solve this murder. Obviously, every wingnut off the street's coming in trying to confess to it.
Yep.
We see that Helen, Sigourney Weaver, has now started making phone calls to the police station saying that she thinks that this is a serial killer. She thinks the serial killer is on a lunar cycle. And they
Ask him
basically,
about the moon bike.
the moon bike. Moon bike. I'm interested in this moon bike. Moon bike. No, I said he was on a lunar cycle because this is his third victim or something to that effect. And they're basically chalking this up to a crank phone call. When the secretary comes over and hands her, a piece of paper with what her name is, she's like, oh my God. And they're like, who's Helen Hudson? And it becomes
Which is very weird to have that response, and then in the next scene have a different response, but we'll get
Yeah.
there.
Yeah. So they go to visit it. So Reuben, Dermot Mulroney, not Dylan McDermott. They, Holly Hunter, go and visit Helen at her incredibly fucking awesome San Francisco castle. And we meet Andy, the gay assistant.
He's such a little dream, you know, he's just
I
there to help and just
just
like,
I
yeah.
love Andy so much. Like I love this actor, you know. I mean, he's been in so many different movies that I love. But I love his character in this movie. He is very nurturing. He is very kind. He is full of a lot of gay best friend quips, which was a big thing in 1995.
Yes, the gay best friend, like it started like coming into like more mainstream, you know, areas.
Oh yeah.
Because this is like Sigourney Weaver is in the movie. Like it has like a cast and, you know, it had a release and all of the things. And yeah, no, this was, you know, kind of when like Ellen started coming out. Like, you know, it was like the
Yeah.
90s and being gay was becoming like, you know, we weren't Will and Grace yet. We couldn't have like a gay lead,
Right,
but you know,
we were
we could
kind
have a
of
gay friend.
Yeah, we were kind of like gay is the new black, you know?
Yes,
Like it
gay is
is,
the new black,
you
and
know.
it is okay in a supporting role. That's
Yeah.
as far as we're going, though.
That's as far as we're gonna go with
Yeah.
that, by the way.
So woke.
Yeah. So they're talking to Helen. They want her to work with them on this. And you know, she says, you know, I really don't want to do
I don't
that. Like
want
I
to.
Number one, I don't give a fuck what you people think. Number two, you know, cops hate me, you know, like she makes that whole thing. They then take out a series of very graphic crime scene photos and
Drop them
just
on her
like
lap.
drop in her lap, and she of course has a panic attack and immediately calls Andy over. Andy comes over with a paper bag, you know, and helps her. And they're like, does this happen a lot? And she's like, yeah, she, you know, hyperventilates into a paper bag until she passes out. And then I wake her up and everything's fine. And I was
Yep.
like, I don't know if that is how a normal panic attack happens.
I've never seen it happen like that, but I do absolutely love the line of just like, you know, she's agoraphobic and Delmert, whatever his name is, Golden Retriever Detective Boy, is just like, she's afraid of spiders too. And I was like, oof.
Like you like look at him, you're like, you're so pretty.
Yeah, and I just went, good boy. Here's a
Yeah,
treat. Here's some
good boy.
bacon. Just all I need you to do is lay down.
What a sweetie. So when they leave, it's funny because Andy kind of talks to them and says, look, leave the photos, I will have her look at them, we'll call you, kind of thing. And they're sitting there kind of snuggled up. I love this. This is one of my favorite scenes. They're snuggled up, and you know, he's like, he was cute. I know you think so. And she's like, who? And you're like, oh, please don't be coy, which I love. And she says, you know, I miss men. And he's like, what am I, chopped liver? And she's like, no, I miss sex, you
Yeah.
know? And yeah, and I can only imagine agoraphobics because they literally don't leave the house. Now, granted, here's the thing. Not leaving the house in 1995 meant something really huge compared to not leaving the house in 2026. Everything is available at our fingertips in 2026. We really do not have to interact with the general public if we don't want to. We can have our groceries delivered. We can have our sex toys delivered. We can have anything delivered, not to mention anything streaming at any given time. There really is no reason to venture out the house in 2026. However, in that time period in 1995, that meant something very different. Being, you know, an agoraphobic meant that you kind of had to rely on someone to take care of you in a lot of ways. So Andy is her protector. Andy is the person who takes care of her, and he does live there too. So,
I'm going to be a bad person. I understand a whole lot of mental illness. I do. And I
Oh,
can
but agoraphobia is not one of them.
agoraphobia, just, my brain can't put it anywhere because I cannot, leave the house again in 2026, and I'm fine until I'm not, and then I start to get a little squirrely of like I just need to go like touch grass, see the sun, whatever, get me out of the house. The concept of not being able to walk out the front door, while I empathize with that, my brain has a very hard time getting it because like I don't necessarily understand bipolar, but I can really empathize with that situation of like highs and lows, and I have felt very high highs and very low lows. So I, while I don't struggle with it, I don't struggle with schizophrenia, but I can empathize with that one. Hoarding situation. I am not a hoarder, but I can understand how just it overtakes you and you stop seeing the mess, until just one day it's like there's roaches everywhere and I don't know how we got here. Like, I can understand it. It's not how I live, but I can understand it. Agoraphobia is one of those ones where I just go like, just go outside. Just like stand on your front porch and okay, like have your panic attack, read the fucking president, breathe into the bag, and then take another step. Like I just it is so hard for me, that one where I just go like I can't relate it to anything. And that is one of the problems that I have with this movie, because it's a big issue in a minute. And I just go like, oh, you're losing me. Oh, you're losing. Yep.
That's
And
interesting.
I know it's, I understand it's real and people struggle with it, but I have a hard time with this particular mental illness.
I get you. I get you. So she comes out of the shower and realizes that somebody has been in her closet. Someone has been in her closet and they laid out the red suit that she wore at the lecture hall at the very beginning of the movie. But she kind of
Very
chalks it
odd
up
that you
to,
kept that, FYI.
but she kind of checks it off as, okay, like she writes it off as, I am an alcoholic
And a pill popper.
because she is
Yeah.
as an alcoholic pill popper. I clearly could have gotten the red dress out and totally just didn't think about it.
Yeah, I grabbed the wrong thing out of the closet, which why do you still have the outfit you were attacked in? Weird to me. But okay. Yeah, just it's weird to me.
That is
But
definitely
yeah,
odd.
no. And again, I was thinking about that of just like, how do you get like a doctor to prescribe all of these pills? And then I was like, oh, it is 1995, but you don't go to the doctor. You're rich and white and successful. Oh yeah, no, you can have anything you want, girl. Pop off, queen.
That's
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
yeah.
It
Just,
was a different time, my
yeah,
friend. Oh, man.
absolutely. I need some Valium and some
Right.
Ativan, Ativan. Get me some benzos. I need some Percocet. You just like call it into your doctor, and they're just like, yeah, sure. OxyContin and a bottle of wine. Go get that for me, Ari. Okay.
I will be totally transparent here. In 1995, I was 15, so let's go with more like 2005, for instance. In 2005, my dad called in every single prescription that I had. So anytime I got it up my ass that I wanted to try a drug, whatever it was, I would basically call my dad and say, can you write me a script for this? And he would, which is highly, I don't even know if it's illegal per se, but it is definitely in that like gray area of that's inappropriate, which kind of came back to bite me in the ass when he died, because whenever, I had to then go to actual doctors and say, my dad's been writing my scripts for the past 20 years. and you know, so that was, and that was not good, you know, because it was
Right.
like, okay, you know, like we're gonna have to reevaluate a lot of this. So yeah, but in 1995, bro, like, you know, yeah, it'd probably be easy if you were rich, white, and female to get anybody to write you a script. So,
Yeah.
meanwhile, back at the police station, Will Patton, Pussy Slayer, tries to invite Holly Hunter out for a steak, and she declines, rightfully so. And Reuben comes in. And actually, you know, comes in with like healthy food. Like he comes in with Japanese food, you know, which, oh, you know, how forbidden, right?
You're right. Yeah. Crazy. He had
He's like, I
chopsticks and sushi, and she was like,
seaweed
"What is
salad,
happening?"
right? And she's like, where's my quarter pounder, you know? And he's like, oh, here's your quarter pounder, and pulls it out his pocket.
Pulls it out of his pocket and she devours it. Like, yes, pocket burger, my favorite burger.
Disgusting. Oh my God. So the she they kind of are hanging out there because they're waiting for Helen to call, basically, is what they are. They're waiting for Helen to call them. She does call them and says, okay, I'm ready. They come over there, they are going over the photos, and she, you know, she distinguishes the photos and says, well, this photo was a crime of passion. This photo is someone who's ramping up, you know, who's starting one place, and he's going to get a lot worse because these are bodies that are on display. And you know, and she talks about how one of the photos, the one of the jogger who has been strangled, she's saying, you know, right here, she goes, was there a stocking around her neck? And they're like, how did you know that? And she's like, this is Albert DeSalvo. This is the Boston Strangler. And they're like, oh, like he's copying a serial killer that's been around for, you know, that hasn't been in the news for 30 years. And they're like, why would, and he goes, why wouldn't he do someone most recent like Gacy or Bundy?
Yeah. I've been thinking about like why we don't really hear about serial killers anymore.
I think that, okay, all right, we're gonna go here. All right,
Yeah, no, we're making a left.
I
We'll
think
get
we're
back
gonna,
to copycat in just one second, guys.
absolutely, guys. So here's what I think. I think that the types of things that are being done by our government and that are being done by really, really rich white men, are the new serial killer. I think that that's the new serial killer. And I think that it goes deeper and darker than any of us could ever imagine. And I think if that focus has been on that, then there are probably serial killers still operating in the world, but we are so focused on the atrocities that the government is committing that we really don't know anything.
I do agree with like 90% of that, except for in order to get into like that cabal, you need to be like, a rich like billionaire. So like,
Right.
I'm just looking for like your run of the mill, Dahmer, who's just like a poor white guy, Samuel Little, a poor black man, some like something along those lines, and I just go like, is it still happening and it's just not being reported on
Yes.
anywhere?
That's what I think it's not being reported on, but I also think that they have figured out better ways to run. Better ways to operate using our new technology and all of our weird shit, and they're just not getting caught right now. Yeah, I feel like it just as unfortunately everybody evolves, I feel like the serial killer is probably evolving into much more clever.
I do like agree, like, there is, evolvement, but with like their evolvement, like we've also evolved with like, new forensics and things of that nature. And I'm just like, I do not want there to be a serial killer. I do like I, I want the world to, really be like a nice, happy place where we just disagree about like property lines. You know, like I want to live in a world where like shit like that matters, you know.
Absolutely.
You
Yeah.
know, your fruit tree left mangoes on my property, so they're my mangoes. No, they're not. We're going to court. Like that's the world I want to fucking live in. And it's
Absolutely.
not, but I just go like I just, you know, for And I go, maybe I just consumed so much like serial killer knowledge that it seemed like there was one every other fucking day. And maybe it was just in my consumption of that knowledge that it seemed much more prevalent
But
than.
I think you're, but I don't think it's just that you're thinking that because of your consumption. I mean, if you think about it, the 70s and the 80s, especially the 70s and the 80s in California alone, it was one every fucking couple of months, right? A couple of years. I mean, it was like boom, boom, boom. And folks, if you'd like to see the history of serial killers in California, please check out the Hulu documentary, City of Angels, City of Death, which I definitely recommend. However, Hulu likes to go real hard. Okay, so here's the deal. This is a six-part series. I would suggest, just for your own mental health, getting it out there, maybe do two
Yeah, don't
episodes.
binge it. Yeah, don't just sit down and binge it. It's not a binge thing if
Don't
you
do that. While I do applaud the fact that it is the most comprehensive history of Los Angeles's serial killer problem in the 70s and 80s, it is a dark watch. So just hey, don't make the mistake I did watching all
No, I
6 hours.
did too. Yeah, I think I made it to like five and I went, I need a minute. I need I'm gonna go like walk the dogs real quick. My brain needs to fucking reset.
For sure. It was like, oh God, I was not good. I was not
Yeah,
getting off
no,
that couch.
that was not a good time. Not a good time. Which it shouldn't be if you are watching shit about serial killers also.
Yeah,
So, you know, good on you.
exactly.
All right,
So
back to copycat. Sorry.
to copycat, our Helen is playing chess with somebody online electronically, and she gets a message on her computer. I'm not really sure how she got this message. I'm still trying to figure this out. There's a lot of how shall we put it, internet lore going on that I'm kind of like, but somehow this person got access to her computer and
Probably
sent.
clicked a link in her email. They just didn't put that in the movie, you know?
Exactly. It was just like shop online. Oh my God, click.
Yeah.
Here's this.
90% off at Dillard's.
Right. Here's those stamps you ordered. Did I get drunk and order stamps? Click.
Yeah.
So she opens the message, and I love this, and it creeps me out every single fucking time because it is so. It's obviously it's so raw because this is the internet, 1995. GIFs were a different kind of animal, but it's creepy as fuck. It is a beautiful redheaded girl. She is kind of dancing around, and all of a sudden her face turns into a skeleton and she starts screaming, and she screams on a loop, and then the face disappears and turns into worms, and it scares the shit out. I am such a gentle soul for someone who has sit and watched
You're right.
6 hours of serial killer
Yeah.
documentaries and a fucking skeleton screaming GIF upsets me. Okay. So she gets this message and she thinks, okay, obviously this is the next victim, right? So she calls HH and Dermot Mulroney. They show up to help and they say, well, why'd she send it to you? Why did they send it to you? Why didn't they send it to us or the cops or whatever? And she's like, I'm their damn pinup girl.
Yep.
She's like, I am their muse.
Yeah, I know everything there is to know. You know, I'm the victim who got away. And what I think is just weird is how like she is perceived by the police force. You know, once they realize like who she is, they hate her
But they
for the
still
dead
wanna
cop.
help. They still want her help, but they hate her. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's very
like, and I'm
strange.
just like, well, she didn't kill the cop. She was doing training lectures of this is how you catch these people. I got attacked, he got murdered. Why am I not lumped in with the victim like you are? But yet she's like nailed to a cross, like she slit this cop's throat and shot him in the head. And I just go, why is that the connection here? I have a, yeah, that's another just Swiss cheese hole in my brain. I go, I can understand, you know, like I'm hurt for my friend that we lost and, you know, back the blue, blah, blah, you know, like that sort of shit. Like I get that. But like she didn't do anything besides try to help the police force. And this is how we get more proficient in catching these scumbags that are hurting our communities. I am here to help. We get attacked and it's fuck me.
So I don't know if I was just I don't know if I was paying attention in 1995 to how forensic psychologists were being treated by the police force, but maybe it was a different time. I don't know. But it's interesting how she starts to unplug her computer when this happens, and she says, "This is an open window, and he can come in anytime he wants." And it reminded me of how when a lot of us spend a good portion of our time on social media, for instance, how vulnerable we are to everything,
Oh,
because
yeah.
social media is basically, to quote Bo Burnham, who I adore, would you like to know a little bit about everything right away? Like, would you every single second of every single day, would you like to spend every single second of every single day learning a little bit about everything all the time, all the time, all the time? And that's exactly how it is. And when you are online all the time, it makes it that much easier for people to, I hate to say it, but to get into your head, to
Oh,
rent space in
influence
your
you. That's why
brain,
they're called influencers.
influence you in some way.
Yeah. Whether, you know, to be do this and look this way and do that and, you know, Snapchat filters and I wish I looked like this and, you know, just like doom scrolling, not sitting with uncomfortable feelings of just like, oh, this makes me feel bad. And, you know, you just scroll it away. I don't like this, you know, and teaching, you know, people that you don't have to sit in uncomfortable emotions and just, you know, and it's a constant dopamine hit and a constant dopamine chase. Talon and I just talked about this yesterday of just like, I'm really thinking about getting a flip phone and
I, you know,
just.
when you mentioned that in the chat, I was like, that is so fucking awesome. Like, I was thinking about that too, because I was like, yeah, I mean, granted, I have relegated my any social media I have is 100% the Instagram page that we have, and that's it. Like, I don't, you know, I don't have Facebook, I don't have any of that other stuff. So, but there are times when even I look at the Instagram and I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? You know, like, just like, I do miss the days when shit was so much harder to access, you know?
Yep, harder to access, you know, like I would doom scroll, my mental health would go to shit. But
Ugh.
then, like, the idea of just putting down my phone was filling me with anxiety. So then I was on an online bidding site and just buying clothes, buying clothes, buying clothes. And then somebody was helping me build out a budget and they were just like, this is crazy. And I was just like, oh my, like, and once you see it totaled up, you know, like $3.42, that's not gonna affect my life. But it's $3.42, you know, 18 times in a row. Now that adds up to some real fucking money that I'm not paying off my credit cards or bettering my life in any sort of fucking way.
Yeah, it's wild. It is. It's totally wild. So it's, I think there's a reason why our telephones are designed to look like slot machines. Because that's what you're doing. Scroll
Absolutely.
slot, scroll slot, scroll slot, scroll. Where, come on, cherries. Where are my cherries? You know, yeah.
Big money, big money. No whammy, no whammy, no
No
whammy. I need
whammies.
to stop. Oh, look,
No
it's a dog in a sundress chasing a
whammies.
butterfly. I'm
Right?
happy now.
It's an AI Bichon saving the world. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
just,
Okay,
oh
I'm
God, I'm
good.
such a fucking trained monkey.
Yeah. Oh no, absolutely. 100%. So she unplugs the computer and Ruben agrees to stay with her. And they have a little moment where, she's like, "Well, so how
What's
long
your
have you
sign?
been?" Right. Well, she, yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's yeah, that's exactly what's happening. And he kind of tells her in no uncertain terms, number one, I'm in love with Holly Hunter. Number two, I mean, she doesn't know it, but I am in love with Holly Hunter. Number two, you're in the witness category, which means I can't fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he good golden retriever. I'm here to be loyal, but the owner of my heart is running around with her big dead doll eyes.
Yeah. So we see our serial killer at his house, and okay, I'm gonna ask you this because I in my heart of hearts, I feel like that is his mother.
Oh yeah, no, that's his mom.
Okay, that's not his wife,
No,
even though
that.
he does call her darling,
Yep.
I
Yeah, no,
immediately
they
went,
have a very inappropriate relationship.
yeah,
Yeah, no,
absolutely.
that's his mom.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she tries to get him to watch TV with her and then tries to get him to kiss her on the lips.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, that is mom, and
Yeah.
they have a very fucked relationship.
Totally. So he kisses her on the forehead, goes back down to the murder basement.
Yeah.
And in the murder basement, he has got a crazy set of tools. He's got pictures of crime scenes that were clearly his, tacked up to the wall like they're Playboy pinups.
Yeah.
And he proceeds to liberate the redhead that he had kidnapped from whatever weird so in the 90s, and I can attest to this, in 1995 especially, there was this resurgence of hippie culture
Oh yeah, big time.
where people were running around wearing bell-bottom pants again,
Yep.
and
Age of
everybody,
Aquarius, yeah.
yeah,
90,
oh,
99 especially. Yeah, it was,
God.
Woodstock 2 and yeah.
Yeah. Oh, everybody was running around like it's peace, love, and everything again. So he has taken this redheaded hippie chick
Yep.
and is essentially holding her hostage. And he takes Windex and shoots her up with it. So they find her body, or her body's found on one of the hills, and Helen hears it on her police scanner. So she says to the cops, when the cops are visiting her, she's like, I can't listen to it, but I can't not listen to it. Which then, of course, reminds me of social media.
Yeah, yep.
So she they get over there and they're kind of going over the details of it. And she says, was the body found near a no dumping sign? And they're like, yeah. He's like, but this one was raped. It's like, is there a secretor and a non-secretor? And they're like, yes. And she's like, this is the Hillside Stranglers. They're like, well, why is this guy copying da 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 da? And she has this great line, which I love, and I've actually used this in life, which is, consistency is the hobgoblin of small minds. And I love it. I was like, yeah, that's fucking good. And she basically tells him, she's like, yeah, he's copying. He's this is a copycat serial killer, basically. Next thing we see is a woman getting approached by a guy, looking for directions,
Yeah.
and he's in a VW. So of course, all of us little serial killer aficionados were like, "Oh, it's Bundy,
It's Bundy.
it's Bundy!" And she gets approached, and then the next thing we know, she has been shot in the head, and the Partridge Family is on the stereo, and
On
I love the
cassette.
cassette, and I love this moment because Holly Hunter knows exactly, like she's kind of starting to catch on, and she's like, he's doing Son of Sam.
Yeah.
And they're like, yep,
Yep.
he is
And
doing
try to
David.
figure out like what the order is, 'cause
Yeah.
it's not in chronological order, it's not in like fame order, 'cause we went from, Boston Strangler, Hillside Strangler, we're now at Son of Sam. What is this order that he is choosing to copy these serial killers? And they're like,
Exactly.
we have no idea, like when he's just, so there's no way to know what serial killer is then coming next to then find that victim. Like
Yep.
the order makes no sense.
Exactly. And then there's a little bit of filler here because essentially what no, there's a lot of filler in this movie. This movie, in a lot of ways, it does move quickly, but in a lot of ways, there's a lot of filler. There's a lot of filler, and this next scene is a lot of filler. Basically, they're investigating this crime scene, which they think is they thought and for a minute was like a drive-by shooting, and then they're like, no, this is Son of Sam, and she says, go to the telephone booth, look for a note. They find the note. At the same time, she is being guarded by one of, San Francisco's finest,
Doug.
who gets distracted by the fact that somebody's car alarm and their Porsche is going off, which we've seen is actually the killer opening up he opens up the hood of the car. And okay, because you are more car savvy than myself, despite the fact that we work in the same industry, does he cut the battery and that's what causes the alarm?
I think he reattaches the alarm to like be going off of the battery, because why you couldn't just unhook the battery? Because everybody's just standing around. Like, if a car alarm was going off to like that degree and I was down there, I would just be like, well, unhook the battery. Like, that's what would make sense to me. My husband is building Legos, so he's not helping in this.
You disconnect the battery, the alarm
Yeah,
stops.
you disconnect the battery, the alarm stops. That's what he says too. So I don't know what this serial killer did that this new thing, I don't, new technology, we have the internet and,
It's a
sorcery.
wild time, 1995. So then we have this like apropos of nothing type scene where the cop who's supposed to be guarding her, he gets distracted by the car alarm, he leaves, and then she's got
For a
this
long
weird,
fucking time.
for a long time, she's got this weird thing where somebody's in the apartment or someone's in her house. She doesn't know why they're in the house. It's just weird. Like she sees them and they're kind of dressed all, cat burglary,
And then she tries to leave, and the agoraphobia means that she has to run back into the house. And that just it kills me, where I go, you feel safest in the house
With
with a
the
serial
killer.
killer. My brain real struggles with that. I mean, she's like, she does get a weapon, like she is smart and not like a damsel in distress, but the idea that you left the apartment that the serial killer is in and you are just dying of fear in the hallway, I get it, but I don't get it.
Yeah, it was pretty. I was like, that okay, sure,
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
she nails it. I get you are struggling in this hallway because
We've
it's
already
Sigourney
seen,
Weaver.
yeah, but we've already seen her struggle in the hallway, so do we need a second of that?
Well, because otherwise, why didn't you just leave? Like,
Okay.
I did need that of you hating yourself, banging your face against the wall, saying, like, I can't be here and I can't be in there, but I need to go back in there with the serial killer. I needed that fucking scene because I was just like, if it was me and there was a serial killer in my house and I can just walk out my front door, I'd be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna leave now. No, thank you.
No, I get it. No, thank you.
Thank
No,
y'all.
thank you. So they did find a note, by the way, in the telephone booth, and it is the lyrics to the Police song "Murder by Numbers." Fun fact: later on, Sandra Bullock would end up playing a a hard, tough, pants-wearing cop, in the film "Murder by Numbers." So it's and where she investigates a duo who are committing their own versions of serial killings. Which is where we got introduced to the wonderful world of Ryan Gosling. That is where he first, clicked on stage, clicked on camera and stuff. So then the inspector tells Holly Hunter, like, Helen's the one who's been leaking shit to the press. So you are not to discuss the case with her. And she repeats it like, yes, I am not to discuss the case with her. And the next scene we see is Holly Hunter just be like, fuck you, motherfucker. She has
Yeah,
gone to
here's
Helen's
the note.
house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. She gives her the note. She's kind of going through it. She's like, okay, all right, here we go. Here we go. You know. And she's investigating it. And it's kind of like that moment where they're kind of bonding in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like it is a cool little moment. This movie has like what I'd say glimpses of female power and feminism.
Female
But
power, you know, women sticking up for women, you know, I'm the only woman in the detective, you know, field out in the police department. Absolutely, sir. Yes, sir. I'm not going to talk to that crazed woman anymore that murdered our friend, even though she
yeah.
didn't. Cool. And
Whatever.
then,
Yeah.
yeah, instantaneously, it's just like, hey, you gotta help me catch this guy because we're nowhere. You are the only one with any sense or brains about this. I don't know as much as you. Like, please help me, like, catch this guy.
If I were to remake this movie, I would literally make it just these two women. You know what I mean? Like, I
No,
would.
you need the dumb other Keystone cops fumbling over each other because it really sells the strong women. I like, I yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I like that. All right. So, time to go to night nights. Helen gets into bed and she's like reading a book or whatever, and she notices some very large, and I mean large, ants on the floor. Just kind of like I sat there, I was like, well, those aren't sugar ants. I don't know what those are. Carpenter ants? I'm not sure. Very large ants on the floor. And then she notices some ants in her book. So she pulls back the covers. This is one of my worst fears, to be
Fears.
honest
Yeah,
with you.
terrible.
She pulls back the covers and it is just an army of ants everywhere. And she finds a book that was written by Harry Connick Jr. Here we go, callback. And with a finger in it, hold like a placeholder, basically.
Yeah,
And
bookmark.
now here's the thing. We never find out whose finger that is.
Nope. Or how he got the book back in her house with like the new amped up security detail,
Yeah,
or why
so.
the dead finger brought ants and not like maggots and flies.
Yeah, and so the only thing I could come up with is that when the guy broke into the house prior, when she was playing cat and mouse with him and he's all, cat burglared out, that was the moment that he put the that he put the
The book there.
because
He is walking
then,
around the house.
right, so but then they do a video chat with Harry Connick Jr., Derry Lee Cullum, and that's when they find out exactly what that whole situation was, and he says comes on and Holly Hunter comes on and Harry Connick Jr. just shines in this part where this is like my favorite segment of his, where he's just like, I ain't talking to no cop,
Yeah.
Warden, you lied to me. Says, like, okay, well, who's the man who delivered the book? And he's like, oh, Peter Curtin. And they're like, well, Peter Curtin was a German serial killer. And he's like, oh, he's like, that guy stole that guy's name. And he goes, you got to steer clear of that son of a good. He's a freak.
Yeah. He asked for some of my spirit be sent to him.
My spirit, he goes, I don't want to say it in front of a lady.
Yeah. No, this is absolutely a very enjoyable scene to
Oh, this
watch.
is
Yeah,
really the
he nails
only,
this.
like, I believe this is the only the like really I say creepy moment of levity in this film, but this sit right here. And he says, yeah, he's like, I'm gonna help you. He's like, but I need something in return. And she's like, all right, what? And he's like, something lacy, something frilly. He's like, send me some of your squirrel covers. And she's like, I beg your
Sure.
pardon. And he goes, your panties.
Yeah. And
Fucking
she's like,
cracks me
okay, sure. And
up.
address them to me.
And she goes, it's so great because Sigourney Weaver doesn't even miss a fucking beat. She goes, that's a promise.
Yeah. Yeah. She's not even, you know, like, you know, disgusted or
No,
revolted. Just,
she's not. She's
yeah.
not either. She's like, whatever. Like
Yeah,
she's just like,
sure.
just fine. You'll get your panties, right? So he says, okay, so tonight, my buddy Peter Curtin's gonna be beating with my other buddy at the Denver Meat Packing Company. Blah blah blah. So then, okay, there's another scene that I hate. And this weird Asian racist shootout happens at the police station, which ends up with our golden retriever getting plugged.
Yeah, the Chinatown bust happened, which is like mentioned once or twice, where Bill Patton is doing the Chinatown thing, and that's why he's not in this case, because he's working in Chinatown. And, it's just like they speak Mandarin and I only speak Cantonese, and it's a big mess, and everybody's yelling in different languages. And then, our golden retriever gets shot.
He gets shot, he dies.
Yep.
Will Patton ends up like
Suspended with pay.
suspended with pay, and that
Holly
night also,
Hunter tries to quit. And
yeah, and then
dick-faced
the
captain is like, I ain't gonna lose three cops in one day.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, so then that night, I guess, like, once again, it's a whole peace, love, and whatever that whole week. Andy, if you're paying attention, folks, Andy is our favorite character in the movie. Getting it
Yes.
out there. Andy decides to go out with his buddy to a gay bar.
Yeah, I thought it
And
was his boyfriend at first,
so
but
did
it is
I.
not. Nope, they are
Nope.
just friends.
They are just friends. They decide to go out to a gay bar. And Helen gets a call from the gay bar, and it's Peter, and he's, you can hear in the background her lecture is being played, but also she can hear the music. So she knows that they're at a club, blah, 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 blah. So she tells the cops, she's like, look, like that's where he is. He's at the whatever CNC music factory. You know,
Yeah.
he's over there. And
They're at the
then,
Blue Oyster Club.
I was like sitting there, I'm like, I hope they know where they're going, because that's San Francisco, and I cannot imagine you'd be like, okay, go to the gay bar. Like,
Yeah, go to
where?
the gay bar in San
San
Francisco. Oh,
Francisco.
the gay bar in San
The gay
Francisco?
bar?
Okay.
Absolutely.
Even in the
So
90s? Got it.
unfortunately, at this point, Peter is doing Dahmer. Now, at this same moment that this happens, this is when Helen figures out what the order is. She's
Yeah.
talking to she's talking to MJ, she's going to HH, Holly Hunter. They're talking, and she says, that's it. The lecture I gave, that's the order in which I mentioned the serial killers. It's that's exactly. So that means Dahmer's next. We gotta go to the gay bar.
Yeah. He's at the gay bar.
However, it's too late. The killer has basically drugged Andy, taken him to a back alley, suffocated him, and then cut his head off. Yep. So that fucking brutal shit happens. Ruben, our golden retriever's dead, our gay best friend is dead. And so essentially, I thought that as much as I hated it, the only thing I could kind of come up with is that both of their touchstones are dead.
Yeah, no,
Right?
our ground, so now we need each other. So now it's more, women empowering women.
Yeah, absolutely. So then they go down the list and they're like, Ted Bundy's next. And they know that Ted Bundy drove a very specific car. And of course, I shout out. I'm like, fucking VW.
Yeah. It's a gold VW bug.
Exactly. So they get the DMV printouts from all the gold VWs, and they ask the friend that Andy was with that night. They say, okay, go through this stack of DMV records. And he stops on Peters. He says, that's the guy. He brought him a drink, and then they disappeared. So they know where he is. They go to his house. SWAT team's ready to go. Very similar to Silence of the Lambs at this point.
Yeah.
Because they go to the house, and then the Peter Curtin has decided he's going to set that motherfucker on fire.
Yeah. The whole house is booby-trapped. Mom is dead, bullet hole to the head, and the whole house kind of like blows up. And
Yeah.
as that is all happening, Holly Hunter calls Helen and is just like, "Hey, everything is bad. I'm on the way." And we realize that Peter has Helen.
Peter has Peter pulls a actually Peter pulls a slumber party massacre
Yeah.
because he's standing at the doorway next to the cop. They're just kind of standing there, and then she opens the door for the cops because they're both caught dressed like cops, and Peter slices the other cop's throat, jumps out, and then takes her hostage. And makes a video, and the video basically tells Holly Hunter, you know, if you're a smart cop, you'll know where to find us, and if you're an even smarter cop, you'll know to come alone. And he has taken her to some San Franciscan college expo hall,
Yeah.
and he is basically reenacting, literally, he's reenacting everything that Daryl Lee Cullum did, you know, like, am I gonna kill the cop? He actually like kidnaps her, takes her to the expo hall, drags the body
Yep.
of the cop he just killed to the expo hall because, you know, he has to have the stage
Yeah,
set
has to
perfectly.
have to set the stage right.
Right. And she's, you know, she's hanging from the rafters in that red outfit, you know. And
He got a
she's
lot done in a very short amount of time.
very short amount of time, right? And this is, you know, she says, she's like, I know all about you. She's like, you're a sad, second-rate, impotent little copycat. And, you know, she's talking, she's like, yeah, you know, Daryl Lee Cullum couldn't get it up either, you
Yeah.
know.
Oh, yeah. No, she, Sigourney Weaver, like, you know, seeing her, you know, and like hanging from the rafters and kind of like being powerless, but she's still shit talking. And I'm like, all right, so like, there's Riley, you
There's
know,
my
because like,
girl.
yeah, you still a badass bitch. Her agoraphobia doesn't seem to be fucking with her at this present second, which I was like, I guess, you know, like I have a different thing to worry about because I am being like strangled by a serial killer hanging by the rafters, you know. And he was just like, and you know, where Daryl Lee Cullum fucked up is he didn't expect the second cop, but I do.
So then Holly Hunter shows up, and there's a weird shootout situation, and yes, that's it. That's he ends up getting killed, and cut credits. That's it. So this was, yeah, it's not the best ending. I mean, it's fine for what it is. I feel like it took way too long to get here. So.
Yeah, they're, you know, they're the whole like scene, and then like he shoots Holly Hunter, and then, you know, she takes her shoes off so the picture isn't right, and then she gets cut down and stabs him with some mirror pieces, and then is outside, and now her agoraphobia hits, and then Holly Hunter shows back up because she had bulletproof vest on, and then, you know, she takes out the serial killer, and it's just like, yay, women.
It is definitely, it's like, if we're gonna get any kind of a feminist ending in 1995, like, this is as good as it's gonna get, folks.
Had we driven off the cliff hand in hand yet?
What, you know what is that? When did Thelma and Louise come out?
Yeah, I'm, well,
Oh shit.
not,
All right.
yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know anything. I just come here with questions and thoughts.
That's right. All right, here we go. Thelma and Louise. Ah, 1991.
Oh, okay, yeah. So,
Yeah.
we didn't die. We were mo feminism was really doing things in the 90s.
We were trying.
We
We were
were
definitely
trying.
trying. Yes, anyway, you've been watching Copycat. Copycat. And
Which is a nice, fine movie about serial killers and some female empowerment and golden retrievers getting shot.
absolutely. I would just do like a back to back with Hackers, you know, just bring that back
Yeah.
from the dead. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Bring that
Just
back.
simple, fun movie day. Spoon feed me. Don't make me think. I don't want to understand anything. Yeah,
100%.
no. Yeah. It's a good, fun time.
Stuff. Okay. So next weekend, you will be out of town.
I am not. I will not be. We're good for next weekend. Unless you have something planned already, and then we got to skip a weekend.
Okay. So are we, so the whole, like when we talked and you were like, no, we got to skip a weekend. That's out.
Yeah, I
That's
thought
over.
so, but I was incorrect.
Okay.
Talon is going to pick up the kids. He's leaving at 4 a.m. or something. And I'm like, oh God, I love you, but I'm not
Doing
accompanying
that.
that. Yeah. Yep.
Right. Okay. Perfect. So, let's see. What is our
I
thoughts?
want to do Hush.
Yeah, let's do Hush. Okay. Now, let me be specific here. We're not talking about that weird early aughts Gwyneth Paltrow movie, right? We're
We are
talking.
talking 2016 Hush from Mike Flanagan.
Okay, fantastic. I'm always up for a little Flanagan. We will absolutely record Hush next week, and then we're probably going to go back to our Buy Me a Coffees. We got another Buy Me a Coffee. Bobby, buy me a coffee, Bobby.
Oh, Bobby!
Buy me a coffee, Bobby stepped up with the 1950s version of Diabolique. So
Oh my
speaking,
God,
right,
very specific.
speaking of feminism, yes.
Oh,
So,
Bobby.
right, excited about that. We got, yeah, man, we have a lot of cool stuff coming. So, yes, keep if you would like to follow us on social media, perhaps you should ask yourself why. But if you are on the socials, please check out our page on Instagram. And let's see. Yeah, dude, just keep it till next week. Keep it till next week, and as always, stay
Stay medic.
manic.